What's cooking on 95BFM? Thanks to audioculture.co.nz, the noisy library of New Zealand music. Te pātaka korihi o ngā pōro o Aotearoa.
Audio Culture, of course, a fantastic resource. If you haven't checked out that website, do, because there is some deep dive stuff on New Zealand music. It's so awesome.
It is. I can third you on that. It totally is.
It's music nerd zone.
Yeah.
So good.
I read the, what did I read? Oh, the Datsuns one the other day. Mm. Went deep.
What about their new tracks, by the way?
Pretty cool. Pretty
nice one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm proud of them, you know?
You're proud of them. Boys yeah. don't go
you know
there.
What I mean?
What's the dad-o?
Let's wait and see what Sheha does. But we are talking Merc, of course. Myth. Your recent release of independentness.
Yeah, album.
We were talking about the bands before this as well. Let's talk about Lineage.
Lineage?
Yeah.
So before this, group called Dictaphone Blues.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. And then played in a bunch of other bands with other people mm-hmm. for other lizards. Mm-hmm. And then Degrees K was a louder rock band that I was in the late 90s mm-hmm. and early 2000s.
So you're the King's Arms, yes.
Did you?
So yeah, I've got your CD at home, mate.
I love it when people say that to me. They come up to me and they say, oh, I saw you play at Ward Lane in Hamilton. And I'm like, fuck, dude, there was only like 30 people there, eh? How do I not recognize you?
Yes. Yeah, that was me and my extended family.
Yeah.
Now, performing under the name Ed Kessler.
That's my name, yeah. Mm-hmm. Why not?
Do you have a middle name?
Thomas.
Decided to leave that off. Do you think a T would have been good in there? Ed T.
Yeah. Still I don't know time. What I think. There's still time. I could add it in. Hey, DRM, can you just chuck a T in there, bro?
Oh, man, I sent them a track a while ago to put on Spotify, and I realized I sent them like an early mix, and I was like, oh, fuck, can you just, sorry? Mm. And they were like, yeah, nope, it happens all the time, you know.
That's good to know, you're not the only one.
No, totally, yeah, it was embarrassing, though.
Now, you have just put out an album called Mirth.
I did.
And you are performing it live.
Yes.
At Whammy Bar on Friday night.
Whammy
with a
Bar
band.
On Friday with a band. Big mm-hmm. old band. Yeah. Got a bunch of friends together that I'd never... Well, I played with a couple of them in different bands, but a couple of wedding bands here and there.
Who's in the band?
Stu Harwood on drums. He plays with Anthony Tonin and A Thousand Limbs. Paul Cathro plays in Ha the Unclear.
Great bass player.
Paul Cathro.
So good to watch.
He's a mother.
Jesus. Well,
come along and watch him.
He's just infectious, that guy.
Catherine plays under the name Lolo. She's put out a little EP. Catherine Walker.
What's she playing?
She's playing keys and guitar and singing. Mm. She's got the voice of an angel.
Mm. That's handy.
Yeah, it's good to have that in the band. Brad Craig, who plays in Minnie Simmons and Flamingo Pier.
Oh, wow. What's he doing?
He's playing guitar.
Brilliant.
Okay. And a lot of singing. And Emily. Oh, I've just lost Emily's last name.
I want to say Fairlight.
No.
Is Emily also in Minnie Simmons?
Emily is also in Minnie Simmons.
Ah, and she's playing. They've got a new song out next week, don't they?
She's playing keyboard and she's playing violin. And they've got a little horn section.
Holy smokes.
Who I'm tentatively calling the Bens.
You're going to go to Wellington with them?
No.
How do you get all these people together? Just awkward emails?
I literally just
DMs,
asked.
Slide in the DMs?
I just asked.
Face-to-face, though?
About 4 months ago. I said, hey, you know.
It's me, Ed.
Wait, are you typing at this point?
Remember?
Like,
yeah, hey, Ed.
Okay.
Remember me?
Yeah.
And everybody sort of said yes, which was really, really cool.
Brilliant.
And I didn't have to sort of stray too far from the... From the pack. Which
have
cool.
you ever long-term loaned someone a guitar from Lewis Eddy so they'll play in your band?
No. Should I start?
That's a good angle.
It is a good angle.
I'll play if I can have that Rickenbacker.
No, everybody was really forthcoming and really cool about doing it, which I was really, really stoked about. Yeah, so thanks, band, if you're out there listening. Nice. And people have got to come to the show and you know, give up some of their kindly hard-earned cash so I can pay my band.
Hard out.
You know, because they deserve it.
Who else is on the bill?
Jasmine Mary.
Oh, brilliant. We just had her down the Drive Island.
She's got a voice like a thousand angels.
Very nice.
Yeah, I've been listening to her record while I've been pounding the pavement.
She's assembled a strong band as well, actually.
Yeah, so strong, it's powerful.
Mm, yeah, agreed.
Yeah, so looking forward to that. Looking forward to. I've never seen her play live before, but looking forward to it.
And tonight, what have you brought along for us, and why have you brought it along?
It's been a while since I briefed you. So was it music that has inspired Mirth?
Music, and I just want, totally. And I just want to kind of preface to you guys and to the listeners that it's not like
verbatim.
You're not going to hear any of these songs and go, oh my God, that. If you've listened to any of the music, if you haven't, go out and stream or download Mirth. Mm. But if you have listened to it and you hear these tunes, you go, this guy's full of crud, you know, like.
But you're an engineer and a producer, so I assume you're like kind of sound harvesting in a sense.
That's the thing. I think it's more about the idea and the kind of the essence, and often it's the melody that will inspire me. Like I wrote all of these songs lying in bed before I got up, and I'd grab my guitar and I'd get sort of cozy under the sheets, and then I'd wait to, you know, it sounds like crap, but you know, wait to receive an idea, and the melody would, oh, I could just move that one. You have that, but you've got such dulcet tones.
It's way cuter when John and I share a mic.
Oh, how am I supposed to concentrate here? Wait,
so you're wrapped up in the sheets.
I'm all wrapped up in the sheets.
Feeling good, grab the
guitar, yeah. and then sort of serenade, play around, serenade the cat, and I got little you know, voice memos and stuff that I recorded initial ideas, and then if they kind of remind, you know, like that's where that early inspiration is kind of where later on in the thing. Anyway, basically you're not going to hear these songs that I've chosen today and go, oh man, that really sounds like the record, you know, and that's my business, you know, like,
yeah, like it doesn't need to make any sense to us.
Yeah True.
So the first song that you have selected this evening What's Cooking is by Air.
Yeah.
And it's called Playground Love.
Yeah. Yeah, that's from the Virgin Suicide soundtrack. Oh. And it's it's a really good, it's a great record. And that kind of, the first couple of songs that I recorded during the lockdown period I was kind of like, oh man, that's kind of the sound that I should kind of go for, this kind of downbeat, slower thing. Hadn't done that before with any of the bands or anything. And then what really drew, I think what I got from that, this song, was the lower singing, like, you're my playground.
A little croon on the bottom.
Yeah. So it sort of, it's kind of comes into like a song, where's that? On the song called There Swells My Heart on the record, I tried to get ready for this, but now I'm just going total, drawing a goddamn blank.
We're just like, okay, the craft, we're looking at the craft.
kind of goes, twin memories. And I'd never really sung like that before, and I was kind of, ooh, playground love. Faded in print. And it was all lower register, and I'm usually like up quite high.
Right.
So I was kind of, ooh, yeah, I'll go for that. And that's kind of something that kind of went through the record, was singing in a lower register, and I think that's where the Air song comes in.
Let's go. Got aired. That's a selection from Edward Costello.
It certainly was.
Just running us through assembling the band off here. How long have you been conceptualizing this sort of solo release? Because you're saying you were writing these songs in lockdown.
So I guess it's a year. Mm. So it started the first day of lockdown. I started writing. I did that little cuddly thing under the covers for the first 2 weeks, and I was doing a song a day. I was like constantly, like, I've never done that before, and like each day was a surprise, and each day was like,
what's some of them like? I'm not gonna wear a fucking mask.
You've done it again, Hungry. You've done it again. Listeners,
they can't all be met.
Listeners, there is one big Hungry. There's not enough to go around. I've got him right now. No, it wasn't like that. I really shied away from that because I knew at that time I was like, I'm not gonna fucking sit here and lock down and come out fucking talking about.
Was
lockdown.
There pressure to? Did you feel like there was pressure to be creative during lockdown?
No,
or at the time?
No, I wasn't. And I know that, and I've got other songwriter friends who did feel like that, who were like kind of gifted this time, and they didn't do anything, and they felt really bad about it. And I mean, like, I have a day job. I, you know, work 5 days a week. So
shout out Lewis Eddie Guitars.
Shout out, and I was doing Lewis Eddie work as well during lockdown. Shout out to anybody who's listening from Lewis Eddie.
But it's that classic thing. I mean, you're talking about art. Time doesn't mean productivity.
Yeah, I think I had my win with that was I went in with no expectations. Like every other time I've tried to like write songs for an album, I've had expectations on myself and what it should sound like or how quickly I should write or when it has to be finished and all that kind of crud. Mm-hmm. But like this time there was no expectation. And so I think I just sort of kept it easy for myself.
I mean, sort of 12 months feels like quite a, you know, short period of time to
it is
fully
for me.
Process
I don't know
and
what
create
other people,
this.
Yeah, totally. I don't know what other people are like, but yeah, it definitely was for me by 200%.
Was it? You obviously had the guitar in the bed. Did you have
Chibble.
Trumpets and stuff as well, or was that just in your brain?
Nah, they came later. Like I did all the things that I had at home.
The fucking drum kit.
Like, yeah. My bubble, my bubble was really big. Yeah. No, I had, I just had the guitar, and at home I had the Akui. I had a couple of Akuis. I had a electric guitar. I had a bass. I had a drum machine. And
what
I had
kind of drum machine?
DMX.
Oh wow.
Had a, like a legit vintage one, which I borrowed from my mate Joel. Shout out to Joel. And and like those are what, that's one of those ones that is it like all over hip hop records and stuff. Mm. And one of the things that makes them really cool is you program your beat into it and it kind of, you know, plays it for you. Mm-hmm. I'm not that advanced with that kind of technology, and
it's
I didn't.
Presets, though.
It, oh no, I just sort of sat down and sort of tapped out a beat, you know, on the machine, and then looped it in toolies, and yeah. But then I did a bunch of overdubs with the trumpets and that when we got out of lockdown, and I could get back into the studio.
Very nice.
Yeah. Hmm. What's next?
And are we going? We've got
Angel Olsen. Oh, okay, cool. So, yeah, totally. So this one was like, I mean, absolutely nothing to do with the way that her record sounds. It was just the, I was lying in bed, and my wife and I were listening to a lot of Angel Olsen at the time. That song, "Shut Up, Kiss Me," which I ain't in love this time. That kind of one. Tell me what you did. And
she turns a phrase so weird.
She does. Yeah.
Like, what?
And I was, my chords were something like this. And I was kind of like, oh, that sounds like Angel Olsen chords. And I was like, how do I get it away? So I went to some freakier voicing.
Started sussing it a bit.
Started seventhing it.
Yeah, right.
And so that's when I sort of decided, oh, I'm going to have lots of those, you know, for want of a better term, jazzy chords, which I'd never done. I'm usually quite a power chordy guy or a riffy guy. And they just had so much more colour.
Yeah.
So when I was lying in bed, I was like, oh my God, how do I get this away in my head? How do I get it away from Shut Up, Kiss Me, Hold Me Tight? And that was kind of the way.
And here we are.
Here it is.
And you're back in the room.
Look in my eyes, look in my eyes, look in my eyes. Not around the eyes.
Ed Caslow performing this Friday at Whammy Bar with a full band, brass, the whole nine yards.
Shit, yeah.
You can get tickets from Banished Music if you are interested to go.
Oh, my
God. Ed, you're in here selecting some music which has inspired your new record, Mirth, which I'm assuming people can find on Bandcamp
and all the major Bandcamp streaming spots. Bandcamp and the Streamos, yep.
Mm-hmm. You're going to get any CDs burnt or pressed?
No, look, I looked into it and I mean, I don't know, like... I don't know, what's the vibe? Like,
that's kind of like if you're merching when you're playing. So if this is like a one-off gig that you're doing show, at Whammy Bar.
And it's it was kind of like, oh, you know, can't afford, or, you know, like don't have the superfluous cashish to put in the pipe of
LPs. This iteration
LPs.
Is in its infancy, isn't it? So it's kind of like, you start at the beginning, you know?
I mean, to her credit, my wife was pregnant at the time, and she was like, look, if you want to get records done, I'll support you. And I was like, thanks, babe, but I'm not going to be that guy that that puts in, you know, like $3,000 or $4,000 into a bunch of records when I've got a baby on the way, and then we'll have 150 records sitting under the bed, you know, like, I don't want to be that guy, you know. And people digest music in different ways now. And I don't know, is the CD kind of, because the LP is kind of
just so overtaken.
Cool, is the CD like its ugly cousin?
No, I don't think the CD has died, but I've got a lot of CDs at home. So, you know, I think CD sometimes sits quite well on a merch desk. People can pick it up for like 15 or 20 bucks at a show.
Yeah, I tell you what, I wish I hadn't have, you know, in the great pilgrimage of 2003 to Australia, I wish I hadn't have thrown out all of my CD cases and put them in that darn CD wallet, you know, because now I don't have the cases. And it's the collection, you know, the case, right? Mm. Scrolling through the lyrics of Siamese Dream.
How are you going to put it above the visor?
Yeah, above the what?
You're going to put it in the fucking sunbox.
Oh, yeah, that one. That old, you know, fit five CDs in it.
Now, Ed, you've selected some James Horner. Tell us about James.
I don't really know much about James Horner. I assume he's a songwriter, but this song I can remember from an old Disney film called An American Tale. The Little Mouse one. Precursor to Ratatouille. And it came out in the 80s, and I remember just being like really enthralled by it. I was moved, you know, like kids would be if they heard, well, I don't know, other songs, but this one, what's this called? Somewhere Out There. Mm. Yeah. So it's just, okay. There's a word in Norwegian called kushli, and we don't really have, a translation, but it means like warm and feeling really snuggly and nice. And that's the sort of feeling that I had, can remember as a kid hearing this. And it's so yearning. It's such a yearning song. And this sort of informed, or when I started writing a song on the record called Slumber Eyes, I wrote it on guitar in bed, but then I moved it to keyboard, and because it just was, I wanted to.
Did you get up for the keyboard, or was it?
I got up out
of bed. If you want it, you're like, oh, tomorrow morning I'm going to want harmonica. I better put it by the bedside table. I don't want to have to get up for it.
And that just had these kind of classic changes. This in the same, and it sounds nothing like it. But I just had this nice sort of feeling. And so
nostalgia is no fucking joke, by the way.
Nostalgia is no joke. And so the whole song evolved, and it became this song about me lying in bed and waking up early in the morning before my wife wakes up, and looking across, and, you know, like sleepy rest face, and she's just so beautiful, and like you want to hold that moment in your head forever, and like taking mental pictures.
God, it's fucking beautiful, bro.
It's fucking beautiful, eh? I don't know whether it's
that's fucking beautiful, bro. It is.
Yeah, so I had that same feeling, and this has got like a singing mouse. Now this song does have a long, a
just
long
say that really
intro.
Fast. It's got a singing mouse.
This does have a long intro, but just bear with us, listener, for the bear it, wait for the young voice to come in. Not much of a drop, it's more of a and it's totally all this kind of stuff. You got to listen to the record, Mirth, hear Slumber Eyes, and you'll get, I think you might get this one. Yeah.
Oh, guys, we've really let you down.
I'm so sorry.
The cute little vocal version in which you can imagine the little mouse singing.
I must have sent you the wrong link.
Are we taking phone calls, Ed?
Oh, yes. I want to give away some tickets to the bloody gig.
Fucking hell. Hello, caller.
Do you want a ticket?
Hello, yes, please.
Brilliant. Who's speaking?
My name's Aaron Pony.
Hey!
Oh, mate.
Have I got the right number?
Yeah, bro.
Mate,
you're on air.
You're clearly not ringing for a ticket because we hadn't even announced it. What are you ringing for?
What do you mean? Okay, what ticket?
Oh, a ticket to my gig.
Hey, message received, Aaron. Thanks,
Aaron. Wait, is that a euphemism?
No.
Okay, sweet. Okay, solid.
Wait, euphemism, not mephemism. Hey. We better just carry on with this actual interview.
Shall we crack into the next one and then we'll come back and we'll back announce. So
Can we announce if somebody does want to call in? Let's give away a double pass to the gig,
April 9th, which Friday, is this Friday.
This Friday at Whammy. If you're free and you'd like to come,
take advantage. It's a one-off situation, and Ed's assembled a powerful crew. So
yeah, we'll give you a double pass.
There you go. Should we text on into 5395?
Yeah, first and second texter. Fair. No mucking around. A couple of double passes.
Emojis,
love to see you there.
Normally we favour emojis, so
let's keep favouring emojis.
Sweet. What else?
So what are we up to? We're up
Eurythmics.
To Eurythmics.
You're taking us on a strong ride here, like a strong, very strong ride. Eh?
So probably, I think where I got with this one was. Some lady vocals, and like they're kind of like some like really powerful like soul vocals that all over music, and this probably isn't like the best example, but it's an example. And so when I realized I wanted to have them, I was like, who's some powerful
ladies?
Are you
talking like 20 Feet from Stardom type stuff?
What's that? Oh, is that the back? That's the
backing
singer
type, or like lead? Where are we?
BVs.
Okay, BVs. Yeah.
Backing vocals.
Yeah.
I was like, who's some powerful crew, you know? So I was like, again, I'm so lucky. I put the call out to Anna Coddington and Julia Deans, and they came in for a little sesh. Wow. And so they're all over the album.
Is this at your studio, by the way? Just above?
My little studio. Mm, yeah. Yeah. So I was like, come in and sing. They sang on a bunch of songs, but they did like this on one song called "When Your Tears Have Dried." They were like, You didn't exactly didn't give it to me, hungry. You didn't try, and all of that sort of stuff. And then I was like, where the heck did that come from? And as I say, there's stacks of great soul BBs out there. But then Eurythmics are one of my big ones. I love the Eurythmics, always have. And this came to mind, this tune. And he's got some great ones in there. What's the song called again?
It Must Be an Angel.
Yeah, it must be talking to an angel. Oh, listen to that hook.
Talking to an angel. into an empty room. Suddenly my heart goes boom. It's an orchestra of angels playing with my heart, yeah. Na 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 na.
Harmonica.
What? That's what we just got in, a text saying harmonica. We really
sounds a bit Stevie Wonder. Maybe it is.
That, oh, yeah. Could be. It could just ring him in for a few things there.
It's coming one take. One take, Stevie.
Apparently, Eurythmics were great in 86 when they played here.
Have no doubt.
I've got to believe that. I can't argue that at all. So, Aqua, that one time that they played the Artea Square, actually.
What's that?
For free. I'm the Barbie Girl, number one hit.
Who's that?
What? Hey, bro.
Yeah.
I see you've got your guitar on you.
Chibble.
Ed Costello has come up. And is this the guitar that you played in bed all those times?
Yeah, bro.
It is?
Yep.
Holy shit.
Yep. Play it at the gig.
You put some new strings on it?
I did today.
Are you playing that? Are you playing like a nylon guitar?
Playing a nylon guitar.
Oh, it is very like, yo, these are my songs kind of thing.
Yeah, bro. Yo, yeah, mate. Yo, these are my songs.
This Friday at Whammy Bar.
Yeah.
We do still have those tickets if anyone wants to go. 5395, text on in. Up for grabs. What are you going to play for us, Ed?
I'll play Baby It's For You. This is like going to... This is on the album. It's got kind of a beachy vibe, eh? A beachy vibe. The sun sets in your eyes. The moon is eclipsed by your smile. It's hard to stay angry at somebody so heavenly. The rain, it falls for your thirst. The birds are singing for your mirth. They are a choir. Sing what you desire. Baby, it's for you.
for you. Baby, it's for you. Baby, it's for you.
Absolute pro.
Oh,
Edward Costello
hearing
there.
You two clap is like a bloody crowd of 1,000. Thank you.
Our pleasure, mate. Absolutely our pleasure. Somebody's saying they're after the tickets, but they don't have a B card. I don't give a fucking shit.
No, that's fine, man. You have those.
We'll make it happen. Just give us your name, mate, and then we'll attach the phone number and we'll put you on the door.
You bull.
Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for having me, BFM.
Ed Costello playing.
You're a constant bloody inspiration to thousands and hundreds of thousands. I love listening to your radio shows in the morning and on the way home, and I don't know about the things in the middle. They're all a bit wordy.
That's BFM ass.
Yeah.
Ed, likewise, mate, you're an absolute legend, so thanks so much. I implore everyone to get along to the show at Whammy Bar this Friday with a sort of a one-off assembled band.
It's the one.
So support your local and get amongst. Thanks, bro.
Thank you.
What's cooking on 95BFM? Thanks to audioculture.co.nz, the noisy library of New Zealand music. Te pātaka korihi o ngā pōro o Aotearoa.